我睡一晚 Below a blanket of smile Jesus Christ up above Watching you turn。
That's John Murray, a 33-year-old singer-songwriter who now calls Oakland, California home, but he is all Mississippi. In fact, his family descends from that state's great writer, William Faulkner, although John has a complicated relationship with his home state, as we're going to hear. He was one of the breakout stars of this year's South by Southwest Festival. His debut solo CD, The Graceless Age, is just out today. It's getting raves for his painfully honest telling of his life story in songs like California.
Beating my brain with benzodiazepines Mama won't tell you that love is a monstrous thing
The album almost didn't happen. The songs explain why. One of them, Little Colored Balloons,refers to the kid's birthday party balloons filled with heroin that almost killed him.
Rattling like a submachine Saran wrap Little colored balloons A black nickel A needle and a spoon
We'll have more on that. But John Murray is in the studios of KALW in San Francisco, where we are hearing him say that he is a listener to the program. John, thank you and welcome.
Oh, wow. This is so cool.
We're going to hear the story your CD tells. But let's go back first to Tupelo, Mississippi, where you were born.
Tupelo. Like, it's like one below, two below.
Okay. Birthplace of Elvis Presley. But how were you related to Faulkner? And how did that shape you growing up?
That defined a large portion of who I am. I think Mississippi is very different than any other place in the United States. And when we talk about things like regionalism, it for the most part doesn't exist. But in the very deep South, it does. And places like the Mississippi that I grew up in, which doesn't exist even now in the way that it did 25, 30 years ago.
How so?
Well, Walker Percy talked about the Los Angelization of the South. There's just a generic sort of influx of materialistic carpet bagging. They still call it the War of Northern Aggression down there, and not the racist, everybody.
Well, and so here you have in this Faulkner kind of steamy storytelling. You know, in your mind, you know that you're enveloped by that. But also, I read you say once that, you know, being from Mississippi is like being Irish. It's in your blood. You can't escape it.
You can't. And what I mean by that is the Irish have an insistence that Ireland is Ireland and is not England. You know, and there's an insistence that we are who we are. And people from Mississippi are Mississippians first and Americans second. It's an identity thing. Mississippi has such a strong hold on a person born there that it is who I am, a part of who I am.
Well, you also say that there are members in your family who, I mean, there's pride in having Faulkner as a relative, but there were members of your family who hated him for the same reason they hated you?
Sure. He was considered the black sheep of the family, very much as I'm still considered that. When my family found out I was on the cover of the Memphis paper, they just asked me, did you cuss in the interview? They're really embarrassed that the thing they didn't encourage is the thing that's working for me. And that's what was done to Faulkner as well. He was given a number of opportunities to be a postmaster general, to be things like that, and he failed at all of them because in his soul he was meant to be a writer. I am a musician. What am I supposed to do about that? Play music.
I wanted everything inside that shit out back. All those penny nails and useless fertilizer. I want to hear bolt cutters breaking glass. Burning violins and your
We're talking to John Murray about a lot more than the music. It's great. It's terrific than the music that's on his CD. You know, the way you talk about Mississippi, that it infuses you, but you felt you had that as an artist you couldn't stay there. What do you hear from people in Mississippi? Do they claim you or do they resent that?
Both. I mean, and it's, I think, very politicized to some degree. My family wishes it would go away because it's disruptive and they just don't like that, you know. My family friends from growing up are really, really proud, and their parents are real proud and all that. But some people, fundamentalist, and I mean very devout fundamentalist, they hate me. That's got to be half the reason I converted to Catholicism, just to, like, be part of the people that get hunted by the Klan, because I hate all that. You know, I'm just like, yeah, I want to be on the other side, like real clearly on the other side. There's a division. I think that is why Mississippi is the Tigris and the Euphrates. You know, it's Babylon for American art because of oppression. And it still is, you know, in some ways. I think great things are created in Mississippi because of the horrors of living there and the beauties. And that's why Quentin comes in Faulkner's character before he committed suicide. He said, I don't hate it, I don't hate it, I don't hate it. Like, he denied Christ 3 times before he killed himself. He's really saying, I don't know how to make sense of loving and hating this place so much, so intensely, and so equally. I think.
Well, this idea, though, that while you may have felt shunned by it, Mississippi, you embody it. It runs through your songs. Let's listen to a little of Southern Sky. The music of John Murray, Son of the South. You just heard him compare himself to the Faulkner character Quentin Compson from The Sound and the Fury. That character had a niece named after him. She was what Faulkner called an illegitimate daughter. Well, John can identify with those kind of murky family ties as well, as we're going to hear. John Murray's debut CD is called The Graceless Age. Back with more in 1 minute here and now. Welcome back to our conversation with John Murray, the Mississippi-born singer-songwriter whose family descended from Faulkner. His debut album, The Graceless Age, is winning praise for his honest retelling of his own story.
What keeps me alive is gonna kill me in the end.
There's another song on the CD, Little Colored Balloons. It's 10 minutes long. One online reviewer calls it the most beautiful song ever written. But, John, it's about your descent into heroin addiction. We were wondering, why? You just told us you were brought up thinking Faulkner was a failure because he was a writer, a musician. You were going to be a failure, too. He died of alcoholism, and you almost died from a heroin addiction.
I did. And, you know, he died of a morphine overdose. They called it the cure back then. My great-grandfather also died of the cure. I'm not sure that that's not a family tradition as well.
Well, so let me ask you directly, John Murray. Do you think you were trying to kill yourself?
I do now. And I remember the dealer saying to me, don't sit down. You're going to die if you sit down. And I said, I'm okay with it. Just let me sit down, you know? I think I thought that was the only way out then, yeah.
Let's hear this song. It's called Little Colored Balloons. Let's hear a little.
Up above the moon and underneath the gun, far away from Mississippi, all the buttons come undone. A hornet's nest inside my brain, rattling like a submachine. Saran wrap, little colored balloons.
You tell of what happened in the mission that you were staying in, 16th and Mission in San Francisco, when you OD'd, the ambulance comes and takes you away. You'd already, your wife and child, you'd left them for the heroin. And the little colored balloons?
in the Mission in San Francisco. Heroin is sold, wrapped in saran wrap, shoved inside little colored balloons so that it can be put in the mouth or in other places. That's how it's hidden from police.
You almost die. The ambulance picks you up.
I remember then thinking that that was one of the most ironic things. You know, the thing that was sort of swallowing me whole was being sold to me in children's party balloons.
Well, there's a moment in the song where you, it's just riveting. Let's listen. You literally are screaming.
My wife, absolutely my wife and child, because I very much love my family quite dearly.
When you were slipping away, did you think, oh, what have I done?
Yeah, and I kept thinking, what have I done? What can I do to come get back? And that's why I did this. And that's kind of like, that's what the record does, but more so in my life of like, you can only go so far until you have to tell the truth.
Yeah. Well, right after the song Little Colored Balloons, which again tells of your near-death experience, being picked up and taken to the emergency room, almost dying from a heroin overdose, then we hear the voice of your mother on a phone line.
They called us from the hospital in Jackson and told us that you had arrived.
Talking about how she and your father went to pick you up at the hospital, I'm thinking, oh, they came to get him after the overdose. And then we realized, no, they're talking about coming to get you after you were born because you were adopted.
Yeah, you called that. I'm impressed. I really am. That was Tim's idea. And
that's Tim Mooney, by the way, the great producer who sadly died.
About a week before this came out, and if anything, like, I wish I could share the fun of all this with him, you know?
Yeah.
He said, call your mom. Would she tell the story about when you were adopted? And I said, sure. It's almost like my mother's response to the song without her having to emotionally deal with it.
You were her first grandchild.
Well, but it also makes us realize that there's a lot more going on here. You are adopted, but right after birth, it's possible that you were even adopted into the family of your biological mother. I mean, it's kind of got this murky...
It doesn't make sense.
Faulkner.
No one can prove that there is no record of me ever having been adopted, but I'm told that I'm adopted. And my friend, Rusty Miller, who plays for Jason Lytle, Granddaddy, and all that, he ran up with a picture of William Faulkner one time and said, look, man, this is when he was your age. Look at his profile. And if you look at the side of my face, now we have the same nose. There's creepy things that, and I, you know, I'm named John Murray. That was his grandfather's name. They've already paid for the plot for me to be buried 10 feet from him. It's weird, yeah.
Well, but...
And you know, I used to like, there's pictures of Barry Hanna holding me, Richard Ford and William Gay, they all like...
All these Mississippi like, writers.
Right? I know all these guys, and yeah, you know, and like Walker Percy's wife and my grandmother, real close and all this, and like, I knew Shelby Foote when I was little. You know, things like that. Like, I don't know.
So while someone might say, oh, you were adopted, you're not really related to Faulkner, there's a good chance you are adopted and you're still related to Faulkner.
Yeah. It's weird. Like, you know, whatever influence, like being related, happened.
All we can say is that Faulkner would have a ball with it.
Yeah.
John Murray, we are so glad that day at that mission in San Francisco turned out the way it did. We should mention, by the way, it was Chuck Prophet, the fabulous California musician who got you into detox. And here suddenly, boom, South by Southwest.
Yeah, but I'm not making another record like that. I mean, you know, I have no interest in taking part in romanticizing a drug like heroin or, leaving your wife and child because you hurt too much and not dealing with it. So if the record tells the truth, then it tells the truth about something that I wish was not true at all. What I am proud of is knowing that people, they're able to say to themselves, if his life was that bad and he's been forgiven because he's told the truth, I can be too.
John Murray, his debut CD is The Graceless Age. We'll link you to a video and more at hearnow.org. What a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks so much.
Oh, you too. Thanks, Robin. This is great.
You know the sickness. Was pain that much?
Here and Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI. I'm Robin Young. Please join us again here and now.
You couldn't stand the crutch. You weren't there to watch it burn.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software. Find over 200 job openings at mathworks.com.
PRI, Public Radio International.